is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I welcome David Adler of American Affairs, writing about the Operation Warp Speed and the reason we're all going back out to the beach and taking strolls together and driving around without masks is Operation Warp Speed. Where did it come from? What is the secret of America suddenly organizing itself in a fashion to rescue not only the United States of America, but planet Earth from the pandemic? How? David, we need to pay attention to names, and your wonderful essay has a lot of very careful turns in it. The one that got my attention right away is Operation Warp Speed. Okay, that name, I'd heard it before, and I thought, well, they couldn't mean Star Trek, could they? David, who gave it the name Operation Warp Speed and why? Good evening to you, David.
Good morning. Good evening. Yes, that came from Peter Marks of the FDA, a commissioner involved in this sort of Center for Biologic Evaluation and Research, who is one of the early – he was not involved with Operation Warp Speed, but formulating the idea. He was a Star Trek fan, and he said we need kind of a Star Trek-type solution here, a warp speed one, you know, implying we need to do this quickly.
That's it. So that's it. And everybody went with it, right? I mean, Star Trek, 60 years later, here we go.
Well, it is kind of a science fiction-like solution. You must give it that.
Yes, of course I do. I always thought it was wonderfully witty, but I never asked the question that you've answered. It actually was a Star Trek fan who gave it the name. So let us go not to the bureaucratic shuffling of papers as they imagine this, but to the secret that David reveals in his essay about Operation Warp Speed. Operation Warp Speed, meet DARPA. David, what is DARPA and how does it explain why we're here with the vaccine?
DARPA is actually a research arm of the U.S. Department of Defense. It's somewhat secretive. I think it stands for the Defense Research Projects Agency. It's known for one of the early inventors of the internet, in fact, among other things, drones, self-driving cars. And though few people know this, it actually has a biological defense arm.
And that biological defense arm is what they called upon. But DARPA didn't know we were going to have a pandemic, or did it? Did it prepare for this day just in case, you know, break the glass? We're DARPA.
Well, DARPA sends troops into jungles, and DARPA knows that we face a bioterrorism threat. So DARPA did, in fact, prepare for infectious diseases through new types of vaccine technologies. And DARPA had been focused on that for quite some time. They were not focused on the coronavirus specifically, but they're thinking about better ways to treat and respond to pandemics than were conventionally the case.
Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which has been with us since the 1950s and was a response to Sputnik, certainly was involved in the Vietnam War, and David's mentioned the internet, a lot of rockets, including perhaps the Saturn V. But now we come to the vaccine story. What were their challenges as DARPA informed Operation Warp Speed, and as all this paper shuffling got together, and as the headlines darkened? I believe this is February, March of 2020. What was the challenge that they identified right away, David?
Well, what DARPA needed to figure out is how can we actually manufacture vaccines very, very quickly. That had always been DARPA's mission in terms of biodefense. So really, DARPA's solution goes much earlier to around 2010 or so. Several people at DARPA, one is named Dr. Jeffrey Ling, another is named Dr. Jan Wattendorf. They looked at what happens when troops go, say, into the jungle and face a new pathogen that have never previously been encountered. The traditional way of creating a vaccine is to sort of take the pathogen, try and grow in a bioreactor using chicken eggs, then develop a vaccine based on it. It takes months and months and months. That's a best case scenario. To be honest, to bring a new vaccine to market, it can take 11 or 12 years. DARPA figured out a much faster solution using a new type of technology.
Yes, and we'll explore that technology momentarily, but I want to go to the date. You said 2010. How big an office is DARPA in 2010? Are we talking about a vast canvas, or are we talking about a handful of people who stay up late at night?
We're talking about a handful of people who stand up late at night, like 100 people. And also, they constantly circulate. That's one other aspect of DARPA. It doesn't have sort of lifers. People come and go for, say, around 4 years. And that's part of the brilliance of the agency. So you don't get people sticking around.
And that's why they can make decisions quickly, because they don't have a lot of levers to go through. All right, now, DARPA has an insight, how to make vaccines fast. We don't know. We still don't know that we need it. But in 2013, they turned to a company named Moderna. Why?
Well, their insight, which we'll talk about later, was that you need the mRNA is a much faster way to make vaccines. That basically your body makes the vaccines, as we will discuss. Moderna was on board with this idea, and hence the name of Moderna comes from mRNA, hence Moderna. And so they financed Moderna as a startup or to scale up to try and start investigating this approach to vaccines.
So DARPA saw Moderna in 2013 satisfying DARPA's insight that the way to build vaccines quickly is not the traditional fashion, but to bypass it using the RNA technology. Is that all correct? They saw it in 2013.
Yes, that is correct. And furthermore, they tried to sell their insight to traditional pharma manufacturers who just had really no interest in pursuing this new approach because, frankly, vaccines are a really bad business. You don't need very many, you know, once a year, a few children. It's just not, it's a kind of a sleepy industry. And traditional pharma companies just were not interested. Furthermore, there are huge FDA approval issues in terms of getting a new vaccine to market. They require billions of dollars of investment. So DARPA's $20 million offer really was not going to cut it.
So DARPA, on the cheap, is developing a technology that may or may not ever be used. And they're doing this without, I guess you'd have to say, independent of the market mechanism. Is that a fair way to put it, David?
Well, yes and no. They were hoping the market would embrace it. I mean, they do advanced research and then launch it into the market. So their idea is that either the Department of Defense takes it up or the market takes it up. Actually, in this case, neither took it up. So even though we're about to tell a positive story about Warp Speed, it's intriguingly, some of the people at DARPA feel rather than waiting for the coronavirus pandemic to hit, that these technologies should have been fully fleshed out
right
even earlier, and we could have, you know, not even gone through the pandemic.
Right. But David, the size of our army in 1939, you understand, we wait too long before we respond to an emergency. Hey, we can lose this thing. And all of a sudden they start building ships and recruiting soldiers. All right, we come now to the magical part, the science part. DNA, RNA, protein, and solution. How does it work, David?
It works very simply. Basically, a traditional vaccine is they take the pathogen, it's injected into your body. There's an antibody that grows in response, and off you go. What mRNA does is the factory, instead of a bioreactor, is actually in your arm. Your cell creates the spike protein that mimics the coronavirus. And that in turn induces an antibody response. It does not, you're not infected with the virus. Rather, mRNA dictates yourselves to create a protein that looks somewhat similar to the virus. And that in turn elicits an antibody response. So your body's doing all the hard work and it's doing it very quickly.
That's Moderna's, Pfizer's and BioNTech's approach. Now there are other approaches, but in parallel to this, is the idea of scaling up, getting ready to produce millions, perhaps eventually billions of doses. What was Operation Warp Speed about scaling up? How did they overcome the natural resistance of manufacturing in this country?
Sure. Well, Operation Warp Speed had multiple components. One component was the vaccine development, and that was, I mean, mRNA was one approach to vaccines, but they tried multiple approaches, and that, because that comes back to DARPA. DARPA always uses a portfolio approach with the idea that a few are going to fail. And some of what Warp Speed began to fund, including Merck's vaccine, which is a traditional vaccine, did not succeed. But that's okay. So they used a portfolio approach, but core to their thinking was this needs to be manufactured quickly. So they only chose vaccine technologies that they could get up off the ground and manufactured very fast.
Manufacture where? Anywhere? Were they putting this together? How did they solve the supply chain? Good heavens, all these times I see all these bald people because they pulled their hair out about the supply chain. The supply chain is a product of the pandemic. How did they get through that?
Well, one key thing is they hired General Perna, who comes from the Department of Defense, where he's in charge of logistics. So all he does is supply chains. So even though we often don't think about the supply chain, we just think it takes care of itself. I'd like to point out that China and Chinese government planners are hyper-focused on their supply chain to make sure they can manufacture anything when needed. The U.S. has been a little sloppy there, thinking it will all work out. It doesn't necessarily work out. But with Warp Speed, the U.S. Army, that is General Perna, while working for Warp Speed, very carefully looked into what the U.S. could and could not manufacture and what was needed, because mRNA technology has some unusual characteristics. It requires a super cold supply chain. It has to be negative 30 centigrade, and that means building new manufacturing capacity for test tubes, things like that. That was all accomplished by Warp Speed.
And what they're putting together in place, while I believe it's my memory, the vaccine didn't actually exist while they're putting together these capabilities. Did they take the same approach? We'll build everything and then determine later what works. Is that what they were doing?
Well, basically, they rather than traditionally, the reason it takes 11 years to get a vaccine off the ground is, you know, you do a few early trials, you go to different phases, and if it works, you then start building out manufacturing capacity. At Warp Speed, they did it all simultaneously rather than sequentially. So they were building the factories right away, whether or not it was going to work. They took that risk. They took that financial risk, which in retrospect was well worth taking.
That's similar to the platform thinking, the portfolio thinking that DARPA has. Build everything and get ready for whatever you need. Try everything at once. It reminds me, David, and we've talked about this, the Winston Churchill said to be, quote, that I use all the time now. The Americans eventually do the right thing because they've tried everything else. That looks like the DARPA approach, and yet it succeeded this time. So we'll talk about where else it can work, but there were other platform technologies besides the RNA platform technology. I believe AstraZeneca was a different one, and Sanofi was the third one. How did they differ, and did they respond in a similar fashion?
Well, they're all actually different types of vaccines. What they all share in common is they have a spike protein, which is similar to the coronavirus to elicit an antibody, but they are actually quite different. What you're talking about at AstraZeneca is actually modified chimpanzee virus. There's a CH in its name. The idea is you would use this kind of vector, a virus vector, to deliver the spike protein into your arm. And so therefore your body does not manufacture it. It's manufactured using traditional mechanisms, and then it's delivered via a virus that cannot harm you because it's an animal virus. And then another approach is simply where you take a traditional vaccine and add sort of a booster to it to make it work. So all three are actually different. They're different technologies, but they all share a spike protein somewhere in there, which elicits the same antibody response.
I'm speaking with David Adler, whose new article about the Operation Warp Speed, yes, it is named for Star Trek, in American Affairs, gives us the details about the magic of the vaccine. However, this same thinking works elsewhere, and when we come back, where? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.